You know what this is like? It's like those old movies we both love.
Now I'm going to tell you my whole plan, and then I'm going to come up with some absurd and convoluted way to kill you, and you'll find an equally convoluted way to escape.
Sounds good to me.
Well, this ain't that kind of movie.
Welcome to another movie podcast, a show that wonders how many strange side roles will Keanu Reeves pop into this year. I am Oscar. With me today will be Ralph for our three reviews. And also with me today at the moment is...
your beautiful and loving girlfriend, Lexi.
Wow, that's a very interesting first name. I don't know why she took a mic, guys, but I have no control.
Excuse you, it's because you said that you were alone when you weren't.
To a podcast listener, they don't care who I'm really with.
They do.
All right, good. What kind of show are we? Do you know, honey?
Yeah, I have to hear you talk about it.
Oh, really?
It's a movie podcast that reviews terrible movies all the time.
Terrible. Is that right? You like Mother.
Oh, I do like Mother.
Yeah, so I thought. Only you like Mother, by the way. We are a show that we are two brothers who do a biweekly podcast that takes on three new or newish movies to review every episode. We trade off picks between him and myself, and additionally give our recommendations and or dissenting opinions on titles we are also catching up on individually. This is episode number 35, and today's show will consist of The Thing, 1982's John Carpenter's horror classic, The Thing, as part of Halloween. It is Halloween.
Tuesday's Halloween.
Yeah, but when the show, you know, it's the last show we can do before Halloween comes up, so it is Halloween. It's Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
So, you like Halloween, don't you?
Love.
Love. It's your favorite holiday?
Yeah.
Mine's too. What's your second favorite holiday? Don't say your birthday. It doesn't count. You just read your mind there.
I don't have a second favorite holiday.
Oh, so you use Halloween and nothing else, huh?
I mean, Halloween and Christmas.
Okay, well, that's the second one. There you go. We'll also be reviewing another horror movie, but this one is a newer film. It is an independent horror movie called The Bad Batch, which is directed by Amy Lily Amurpour, who did her Bones a few years ago with a strange vampire movie she did, and this one's set in the United States, I think in Texas, and it's out on Netflix right now, so you can see it right there whenever you want. And our last film of the evening, our star review, new film came out this weekend alone, is Suburbicon, which is George Clooney's latest directorial film.
Spoiler, it sucks.
That's not much of a spoiler. And everything here, and all of our assets, all of our other episodes, all of our marathons, guys, all of our bonus episodes, all of our everything, all of our top tens that we've ever made or are going to make is available at otherpodcast.com. Again, that's otherpodcast.com. You can listen and share everything we ever do and have ever done ever. Now, as far as what we've been watching, the stuff that we give our dissenting or recommendation opinions on, Roth didn't have anything, so I didn't have to force him to do the intro and stay out even later on his poor, poor work schedule. So I'll give you my films that I've seen, and I'm just going to give you my brief thoughts on it. I'm not going to go too crazy into them. And we'll start off with The Babysitter. And this is a film that it was directed by Mick G, and it is a horror comedy kind of movie. Definitely more horror, but it's very, very, very like an exaggerated kind of horror. It's like nothing's based on reality, but it has its horror elements, but also has comedic elements.
And a super hot actress.
Super hot actress. What's her name?
Bella Thorne. Follow her on Facebook and Twitter Instagram and Snapchat.
Wow.
Her Snapchat name is Bella Thorne.
You're not getting royalties for promoting her. But she loves Bella Thorne. She plays a bit role in the movie. She's in the poster art for the movie.
She also has her own show called Famous in Love.
Oh my God, we're not talking about Bella Thorne. The Babysitter is a movie that's on Netflix, one of their many reviewed and released movies that came out this year, one of their many, many, many. And The Babysitter is actually a good movie. I really like this. It's about this boy who is, he's like 12 years old but still has a babysitter. His parents, is going out for the weekend for the weekend, I think. And obviously the same babysitter that he's kind of, who's his hot, high school age or college age girl. You know, they have a bond for many times being babysitted. Anyway, one time he decides this one night he's going to stay up after his bedtime and see what she does. You know, there's a chance that maybe she'll invite a boyfriend and they fuck downstairs, or she'll have a party there, you know, because he tends to always sleep through it. He stays up and realizes that what she's doing is actually invites a few friends over, one of them, Bella Thorne.
Oh, yeah.
And shit gets real, hits the fan. They are sacrificing a person down there. It's like a lot of blood. It turns into the horror fest that it is. And, you know, obviously the kid has to escape the scenario. And it ends really well. And the pacing is really much better than you can think, especially out of a Mick G movie. I think it might be Mick G's best movie, maybe. And I really liked it. And it's a lot of fun. It's easy to digest. There is no slow part in the movie at all. It opens with a bang, ends with a bang. And it has a lot of references to pop culture stuff that everyone likes to enjoy in movies like this. So yeah, I totally recommend it. The Babysitter. Out on Netflix, guys. My next movie here I saw is The Mummy. Not the OG version, but Universal's latest rendition to do a super power superhero.
You saw that without me?
The Mummy with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wanted to see that movie?
Tom Cruise is the Zodiac Killer. Of course I wanted to
Jesus.
See it.
Oh, Jesus. Of course. I knew you were going to say something. You don't care about The Mummy. You just fall asleep and start texting in that order. The Mummy, not super great, but not super bad either. Had a lot of fun in it. I liked it in the ways that I like Tom Cruise movies, which is to say that...
Too bad he's a serial killer.
Too bad, but he's a good actor. And I would say that his charisma, as usual, kind of carries the movie. Almost anybody else would have made this movie worse. But at the same time, can you imagine a 50-something-year-old in this movie is clearly portrayed to be, like, meant to be a 30-year-old playing it? It's really weird. The guy's, like, playing way off his age base. But he does a good job. The acting in this movie is okay other than him. And I would say that the action piece, set pieces in this movie, pretty good too. But this is Universal's rendition of doing, you know, their superhero movies like Marvel's doing. So they call it Dark Universe. And they introduce Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. They introduce that guy as Russell Crowe. And all that stuff is interesting. And it actually could lead into a cool set of movies that I hope they do better than this movie. But The Mummy, as understated as some of those action set pieces were compared to the audience as they saw it, I would say it is as fun as that. As much as it is as fun as that, the movie does have a lot of problems with the way the pacing of the story goes, the way the plot meanders, the way they force ideas upon our character, our hero, Tom Cruise here in this movie, that doesn't make any sense. And they're forcing things down our throats that would have been much better if they just showed it a few scenes before as nice foreshadowing, like a normal movie. And they kind of fuck up really basic things about movie making that I did not agree with. But even despite all that stuff, the graphics, like I said, the villain who is in another thing I saw recently that she's really good in, but I forget, the actual mummy that gives him the curse. She plays it really cool. I love the opening with her and the flashback and her trying to get out. It's kind of cool. All that stuff was kind of cool. So the movie's really cool as it is hapless. So that's my review, short of The Mummy. And we're into my last film, and I put this in the order of most liked to least liked. It is another Netflix movie. It's called The Meyerowitz Stories, which is Noah Baumbach's latest film starring Ben Stiller and Adam Sandler.
Ooh.
Really? Really?
It's funny.
And that old dude. You know that old dude, right?
Yeah.
No, I forget. I don't have IMDb up, but I should probably say only because, you know, this movie tends to be more of an actor's powerhouse thing. But it is I don't want to say a comedy. Well, I don't know what it is, honestly. It's kind of portrayed to be, what is it? Yeah, comedy drama. Nothing was funny in this movie for me. Sorry, their father played by Dustin Hoffman. I should never forget that. And Elizabeth Marvel's in this movie. I liked her a lot. So this movie is about these three siblings in New York, and they're really annoying, and all they do is bitch and complain, and no, I'm kidding. The movie's not just about that. How do I describe this movie, baby?
I don't know.
It's just, I don't like it. Here's the thing is that I love Noah Baumbach's latest films, like Mistress America and Frances Ha And While We're Young is my favorite, probably. And I love Margot at the Wedding. But this is more in the vein of Greenberg, where they show these very depressed people going through a very depressed, you know, their middle-aged times. And the clear... their clear problem, their clear conflict is Dustin Hoffman's character, which is their father. Their father clearly is a horrible father. Not a horrible person, maybe, but he's not a good person either. And he has these horrible, you know, teachings, and he fucked up his family. He fucked up his kids, his sons and his daughter. And in more ways than one, you can tell by the way they act around him. And I would say, in that regard, this movie is admirable because it does really some really good acting. Adam Sandler has never acted as good in anything else in this movie. So I would give... that's a good thing about the movie. Ben Stiller kills it. Dustin Hoffman, you know, he's all right, but he's not bad either. And they all kill it in this movie, acting-wise, and the relationship-wise. The editing is pretty good. It's just that the point, the subject matter of this movie is so... it's drivel to me. I don't understand why people even like these kind of movies. And it seems like they're meant to be... if you live in New York and is in our 35 or over, maybe it's for you. It's like very specific. And I never understood those kind of movies for my taste. And they didn't, never worked for me. It was very hard for me to care about these people going through all this stuff, even though I understood the magnificence of the craft involved in making it. So I can respect the movie, but I definitely don't like it. So that's my strange opinions on the Meyerowitz stories, which, again, is on Netflix. It's hitting... a lot of critiques, you know, good bones, you know, they all love it. It has a lot of great reviews going on. A lot of people are reviewing it. It's in theaters too, I think, which is a first for Netflix. They usually don't put out their things in theaters. So, yeah, so that's my opinion on that movie. It's probably going to get all the awards because I hate it. So that's how it works. And that's what we've been watching, or should I say what Oscar has been watching. Now we're going to get into our first review of the evening with a classic love, much loved movie here in this household, The Thing, 1982 by John Carpenter. Stay with us.
Bennings was right there, Mac. I swear to God it had a hold of him.
It isn't Bennings.
After the brutal demise of a neighboring camp, the men of an American scientific outpost in Antarctica find themselves fighting for their lives against a parasitic alien organism capable of perfectly imitating its victims, from dog to human. This is the review of The Thing, classic review of The Thing, as part of Halloween. It's Halloween in a couple days, guys, and 2 days after this show. And it's, we're reviewing the 1982 version. The one that stars Kurt Russell, the legendary Kurt Russell, let's say, Keith David, Richard Mazur, Wilford Brimley, who is really good in this movie, T.K. Carter, David Clennon, Richard Dreyfuss, Charles Hallahan. A lot of these people you don't know, but if you see a lot of old movies, you recognize these people.
The black actor, the one who was like suspicious of everybody. What's his name?
Keith David. Childs.
Yeah. Childs, yeah, that's his name.
Keith David, yeah. He's still going.
No, he's big. He does a lot of random ass roles, yeah.
Yeah, he does. He was in The Princess of the Frog. Right. He was a voice there.
He's
played like a few characters in Rick and Morty.
Yeah, okay.
Peter Maloney, I want to mention, he plays the... I can't even begin. Anyway, that's not the point. He's good. I like him in this movie. Donald Moffat plays the sheriff. Not the sheriff, but the sheriff-looking guy.
Yeah. Okay. I was like,
with the gun in the holster. And this is directed by John Carpenter, of course, written by Bill Lancaster and based on an original book.
Fun story.
And an original story.
John Carpenter, creator of The Carpenters. Continue.
True. The band, you mean, right?
Yeah.
Totally. And this is, by the way, the first John Carpenter movie that he did not score.
Oh, really?
Because it was known for scoring all his movies, Halloween.
I mean, this is really good, though.
And Escape from
New
York.
The score's still pretty good on this.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, Ennio Morricone.
Okay, who's the costume or the designer or whatever?
The VFX guy.
Let's talk about that guy.
That guy's legendary.
Like, legendary.
Like, legit legendary.
No. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, he could have made this movie and walked away from movies, and I would have been like, damn, that was fucking good. Like,
right. Two people did it. Okay. Rob Botton, who was only 22 when he started.
That's bonkers.
That guy did most of it. But the one who did, there is a name here I'm looking for real quick. Rob filled in the gaps here.
Sure.
Such a dick.
There's a gap.
Full of gappiness.
Uh-huh. And Old Navy.
Stan Winston. He did the dog thing version.
Oh, God.
So he was special for that. Stan Winston, who is legendary. That name is more commonly known than Rob Botton.
Yeah.
But they both did good stuff.
Here. How awesome do you think that guy was?
A lot of it's like bubblegum and latex.
How awesome do you think what Rob was? Like, oh, man, I just worked with fucking Stan.
No, I think this made their names. And Stan Winston was around before that. I think they did Romero stuff.
But like, you come out and you're just like, fuck me, this is amazing.
Right, stepped up their game.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, and this is one of those famous, that was this is one of those movies, sorry, that it was famous for a lot of firsts came out of this movie in many ways.
Vague name too, The Thing.
Right, it kind of like diminishes every other thing, like you can't have a thing in anything else because this movie trumps.
I'm very grateful that they say, I think Kurt Russell says the name of the movie. Which is a big thing that I look for in anything 80s and under. Mm-hmm. It's like the name of the movie in the movie.
Yeah.
So what's it called?
They say it a lot, but they say thing like a lot.
What? No. In this one, he just says, let's go kill that thing.
And yeah, everything is, if you see it with subtitles, the thing when they say it is capital T.
It is. And yeah, yeah. That's true.
This thing.
Where did you watch it?
Blu-ray. I have a Blu-ray.
Oh, you own a copy.
Okay. I do. Where did you see it?
Showtime.
Showtime had it. Nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you never asked me for my Blu-ray, so I figure you found it somewhere.
I just went The Thing and hopefully on my remote control.
This is one of those movies I watch every year.
Yeah.
So love this movie.
I've seen this movie like 6 times. But not every year.
No, not
like
every year since I started watching it.
Sure.
Six times has been my total too.
Oh, okay, cool. But every time I watch it, and actually every year, like every current year,
right.
I bring this up, and I think I brought it up the last time, which was like 2 years ago when I saw it. But especially now, I feel like now, this movie is just like, that will be the end of us. Us loving dogs like that, us caring about animals way more than we need to, that'll be the end of us.
Because this movie doesn't overplay that.
It actually just leaves it be very little. Like overplayed is the one guy who takes care of the animals.
Right, there's one guy, but it makes sense.
Which exactly.
And then the other thing is that they leave. It's more like our indifference to an animal that has been domesticated.
Exactly.
Just leave them running around the whole camp.
Yeah.
You know, there's that scene. You know, where the dog like halts and then goes into a door, and you see the silhouette or shadow of a man.
Of a man. Yeah. And you're trying to figure out who it is.
Right, because that's the first one he assimilates.
Which everyone thinks it's Windows, guy, right?
No, the dog lover.
Oh, yeah.
But it was never him.
Yeah.
It's funny because, they put a different actor that wasn't in the cast at all.
Oh, really?
So that way nobody would guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking smart.
Because the hair looked similar to the doctor. But
it did a little bit like the doctor.
Well, not the doctor, but one of the other
ones.
No,
it looked like the Windows guy. That's why. And then, but I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
So we should generalize a little bit. And I think I gave a minor spoiler. I almost feel like we shouldn't spoil it. I mean, it's 1982. I don't think we should care, right?
I don't think we should care.
Listen, for two reasons. This movie's really old. And if you listen to the show, you know. You should know this movie.
But it's iconic.
It's really iconic.
Yeah.
It's the Shining level of iconic.
Right. Listen, if we were getting into a movie that, like, kind of, it's, I don't know, old enough to where it's just, like, it was old and it was already a rare movie.
I barely give a shit about spoilers beyond of a year of a movie. A year.
Yeah.
If it's a popular movie. If it's not popular, then yeah, sure, we'll get spoilers.
Sometimes. Right.
But just feel like, if you haven't seen it by now, it's too late, man. I mean, go watch it now. You haven't spoiled yourself yet. Right. Let's talk about briefly about it, though. What makes this movie...
Let's talk about one thing real quick.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
How bad the Norwegians are at shooting and just killing things.
Well, it's kind of hard to kill something that low flying in a helicopter with a rifle.
Well, no, I'm not even saying that. You stopped. Oh, and yeah. You had a perfect shot, and then you missed completely.
That's part of the, I don't want to say dated, but that kind of is kind of part of the
Sure, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
As in the Norwegian, they just had to miss because the script said so.
Sure, no, I get it, yeah. Kind of it's just funny, though.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You might as well put a stormtrooper there.
I wonder, like, how many people were, like, anti them because, you know, most people, especially Americans, tend to be, I don't want to see a dog die on screen, things like that, because they're chasing a dog.
Well, that's right.
By the way, two different dog actors. The dog, when they're in the facility, is different from the dog they're chasing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I read a lot of history stuff on this. Some of this I know from last time I saw it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the commentary, too, and shit.
I've never had problems with watching animals die.
If they have to. I mean, not brutally.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
But even then, if you see a Saw movie, you can see anything.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, because they're all fake. No one's really dying, so.
Right, exactly. That's
a big problem here. Did you know that X-Files did a direct homage of this movie?
Did they?
So I was watching X-Files last year.
I wasn't yeah.
And there's an episode in season 2 or 3 called Ice that's literally almost the same thing. It's like a direct homage. There is a Skulder. That's actually combining both names. Mulder and Scully are stuck in some sort of Antarctica thing, and there's a virus going on. I don't know if it was an imitation exactly like this is, but it's a certain type of virus that they had to flee away from other people that were infected. And it was kind of cool. It's kind of directly the same.
Interesting.
Here's the biggest problem with this movie. Did you know this movie was a bomb when it came out? As most great movies are, they're always bombs.
Like they never completely make fail.
Right. I mean, you get it with.
Well, I mean, yeah, I can see that.
I mean, most times it's because of bigger movies in the play. In play.
What would beat it? I wonder.
So this came out the same weekend that Blade Runner came out.
Oh, Blade Runner.
But Blade Runner also made shitty money. Yeah, you know why both these movies didn't make money? Because E.T. came out a few weeks before.
Steven Spielberg was like, fuck you.
And it's funny because E.T. is clearly... They're all sci-fi, right? But E.T. is the wholesome G version of these two hardcore adult movies.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Man, it's all about release dates, yo.
Fuck your tears in the rain. Here's some... Flying on a bicycle. Yeah,
it's all about release dates,
right? Yeah, a lot of this is like you know.
I think that I see that a big issue with in the video game industry.
Oh yeah, I bet. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know much
about
it.
Two games come out at the same time, and you're just like, one is the overwhelming powerhouse of something, and the other one's just like, we didn't make sales.
You just gotta read the critics that had to play it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's all background. How do you feel about this movie? You've clearly seen it 6 times. You clearly like it, at least. What do you think of it?
I like it. What's it called? It's a really good movie. It's fucking, what's it called? Looks amazing. A lot of the effects are fucking great. The creature itself.
Obviously, this is very scary. CG. Everything is 100% practical effects.
Yeah.
As it had to be.
Yeah.
But not only that, but, you know, Carpenter's famous for pushing the hardcore of it all out there.
What I really love about this, the beginning of the movie is basically the end of the movie. So the beginning of the movie is them chasing the dog, right? And then, what's it called? Trying to kill it. And then, like, I guess a little bit not too much further than that. We get to see the camp, right, which is all burnt down and everything. That's basically what happens to them also.
Yeah.
Verbatim.
What went through the Norwegians when they went through here.
Exactly. Almost exact same way. Yeah. Like verbatim. Like, it's just really... Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
So it is kind of cool.
And it's funny how these
and
both...
I love the ending also.
Both managed to still stave it off.
Yeah. I do love the ending though. But yeah.
Oh, I love this ending.
Yeah.
It's one of those classic... it's kind of like Blade Runner. Like, what's what?
Yeah.
Do you believe them?
What I do like about this also is that there's... right away, they throw away whoever... there's never a person... We obviously know that Kurt Russell is the big actor in this movie, right? But he's not the leader until later in the movie.
He's not the leader until they just figure out like his confidence overwhelms every other potential leader.
Yeah,
even the guy who doesn't take that job.
Right, but the would be leader also in this scenario is a doctor, right? And he goes fucking bananas.
Well, the doctor or Jerry, which is the sheriff looking guy, he just looks like a sheriff.
Yeah, he does.
Who shoots the Norwegian actually in the beginning. And then there's another one, but I forget. But the point is that one goes crazy, one denies it, and the cop, there's that point where they don't trust him about the blood.
Right.
So there you go. So the pilot is the fucking leader.
Right, the pilot.
No, but he has the best idea.
Right, no, sure. But I just love that. Yeah. He really doesn't give a fuck, right? And he's just like, I'm looking for my days off already.
Right.
Like,
He just wants to get drunk. That's why he says, I just want to go home and get drunk. I haven't slept in days. Fuck
right.
You.
Yeah.
Right. Timmy's just a really competent pilot. And even before all this shit happens, before, you know, I forget who it was, if it was Windows or the guy who didn't trust Windows, I think. It's because Windows is the guy who was at the ham radio, right? Not him. Some other guy. Before all this shit happens, when they're talking about, like, is Mac going to be able to fly the pilot, you know, when they're going to the camp?
Yeah.
He's like, Mac knows what he's doing. Like, complete confidence. And Mac is with his shit. People know that.
He's a very confident guy.
They set him
sure.
up that way.
There is that, obviously, thing.
And his rebellious streak a little bit with the chess game thing.
That he just fucking pours the alcohol. Cheating bitch. I love that line. Like,
that voice is Carpenter's wife.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Movies do it a lot. Yeah. Like, what's that recent one I heard? Spider-Man's voice thing is Vision's wife.
Oh, okay.
Paul Bettany, because he was a voice for a long time.
That's
of a computer,
awesome.
So
yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah,
that's pretty
a
cool
connection. So, what's the quintessential thing that makes this movie like a classic horror, like a must-see horror?
I don't know.
Is it the graphics? Maybe, probably.
I think so. I think it's I don't know. It's this interesting story where there's a lot that can be. There's a lot going on in this movie, but we are encapsulated of what just happens, and we never have to explore anything else. This is a cool sci-fi movie where it's the least amount of sci-fi. It's the simplest sci-fi ever. It's sci-fi
like Alien.
Exactly. Just like Alien. You see an alien. Like, you don't even, the very, very beginning of the movie is an alien lands on Earth, and it doesn't say millions of years later or anything stupid like that.
Yeah.
It just says whatever, right? And then the only, like, there's only two more times where you get snippets of sci-fi, which is when they go and see the site and you see the UFO, right?
Yeah.
You see also where the block of ice where the guy was, or he, like, it looked like he left and then he froze walking away.
Right.
Which actually made perfect sense. Like,
it makes
perfect sense.
And thank God he landed there.
And then when he makes the alien makes a UFO also.
And in the basement. In the little catacomb thing he built.
Yeah. Like, that's the only two sci-fi times. And I love the fact that they never care about, we never have to explore anything like that. We don't care about that. Why? Because we're trying to live. We're trying to stay alive.
Right, these guys are grunts.
Yeah.
None of them are
the only smart guy is the doc.
And the science, I think they're both doctors.
Yeah, they're both doctors, yeah. And, but, like, they're two smart guys. They're two smarter guys.
But they're not, like, right. Genius level guys. They're also grunt work. They're there for months and years at a time too.
Exactly. So it's bonkers. But that's why I love it. It's encapsulated in what they don't go like, oh man, I wonder where this alien, like, if we could find out more information about where this alien came from, and like start looking through databases and shit. Like,
but it's funny because this movie, this is what I love about it, is that it goes It walks the line between a monster movie and an alien movie or an alien sci-fi movie, because there are times where the alien does come out. The sci-fi is when that guy is half turned and they're chasing him in the snow and he gives that, he has that weird arm and he screams that weird alien scream. That's very alien. Yeah. And then you'll see the monster parts where, like, you know, when they're doing the whole blood test. Yeah. And the guy comes out of the chair and becomes a monster and starts attacking everyone.
Or when they're doing an autopsy on the guy.
Right. And that's kind of
then
both.
You just, like, Venus flytraps the motherfucker.
The guy's head separates and becomes like a weird tarantula
thing.
It's
so weird. So cool. Fucking weird.
A lot of it was shot backwards, you know, so that way they can do the effect to make it seem like it's coming out unnaturally.
That's That's awesome.
I've read a lot of on this movie over the years. It's a really fun movie. Dark Carpenter is one of the few remakes that defeats the original.
Defeats.
Updates and defeats for me. Yeah. I've seen the original once in school.
I've never seen it.
It's not bad. Definitely for its time, you gotta say. Yeah. But this is what trumps today's time, too. This 1982 version.
Yeah.
And let's talk about MacReady. Kurt Russell, what do you think of his arc, his whole thing?
I thought you said McCree, and I was like, are we playing Overwatch?
No, MacReady. But he looks a little like him.
Yeah, a little bit. He even has a hat.
Cowboy. Holy shit, he does. He actually puts it on before he flies. That's right.
Well, he does it when he flies also.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I remember seeing him flying. We show him flying, right?
Who, MacReady?
Yeah. Okay, I thought we just seen him lifting and then landing.
Yeah, he was flying.
Okay, I must have forgotten.
What about MacReady?
Kurt Russell, obviously, I mean, we love him today. Back then, even, he was a bigger star. So he's earned a reputation. Is he like as solid as whoever today's stars are that can hold a movie on their own? Is he as either charming or charismatic or manly enough? Or does he have to show all that stuff? Or does the character, does he portray a character that's convinced? Like, all this stuff. Like, what do you think of him as the lead man? Because it's an ensemble. This movie does separate from him from time to time. Every time he does, you kind of wonder, like, has he been assimilated?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, no, I think he, I think he does. He, I almost look at him as, I was not going to, I was going to say John Wayne, but that's not what I meant. I almost look at him as, what's it called? Bruce Willis from Die Hard. Bruce Willis' character.
Okay.
So, he is in most scenes, right?
Yeah.
But he's not in it, and you wonder where he goes to different places and he does, you know, things like that. But he's a man, and they're both, and that's what, this is where I'm coming to, where they're both just trying to, like, figure it out on their own, like, just trying to just kind of live and figure things out and what's the next move, right?
Yeah.
So I see them both the same way, and I think Kurt Russell does a good job. Overall, just, like, especially the scene where he gets in, and he's like, hey, like, I barely made it back because this bastard cut the line or whatever. But he doesn't even blame him, right? Because he's like, hey, I'm like, he's like, I got lost or whatever, right? Whatever,
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, the also the movie's part of like, this guy's fucking lying to us now. Like, he's fucking turned, right? The movie's trying to lead you on that, right? But when he breaks in, and then he has a fucking TNT classic. This is what's it called?
Mexican standoff.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, great acting on his part. And just for the role where he has to basically choose that he knows he's human. He's like fighting that he's completely human, but he's willing to blow the fuck out of everybody up, including himself, right?
Also for the chance that he'll take out the alien too.
Right, exactly, for that chance as well. Yeah, I mean, right, because that's how fucking sure he is that he's human. Like, that's how sure he is. Like, and that's something that actually no one else does out of all of them.
Right.
That's one thing that none of them. Yeah, none of the only other one does. Childs does it. Childs is the only one who's like, "Fucking do it. Let's do it. Come on, bring it up to me." Right.
But they set him up really well as a hothead too.
Yeah, exactly.
That would overreact to things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
exactly.
MacReady wouldn't.
True. But MacReady wouldn't, exactly. So that's why I think what's called Kurt Russell's role. That's it's perfect, because the whole time you're just like, "No, you can't. I just don't see him being."
Yeah.
He would have turned by now. You know, and he's just that smart. Like, things come together. Like, he heard about.
It's also more than he's a protagonist, and we have to, like, you know, we have to assume that the protagonist wins because
it's
a movie.
But you can see
it's more
where
than that.
He gets,
the movie supports that so
right,
well.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the movie supports
it
well.
Even movie helps him out. Like, there's a scene where, you know, the whole thing with the jacket, and they find MacReady's jacket, and it's all ripped up like an alien would have escaped from it. You know, the alien knows to take him down first because he's in charge. Like, the alien knows to respect him and kind of, like, put him down first so he can take the rest down and to frame him for, you know.
Right.
Like,
but not only that, but, like, that's a telltale sign also. Or that's the sign was there when he's like, we're going to go check out my cabin. He's like, why are we checking out your cabin? He's like, because I left my lights off and the lights are on now.
Right.
Right? And that's like, that's a big sign.
Yeah.
Right?
That was creepy.
That was a creepy sign.
The panning over, or the,
because that was a sign basically saying the monster or the creature, the thing, went to get planned evidence for it, right? Get evidence for it. But what the cool thing about MacReady's character, or MacReady, is that you see where he comes to. Like, they're talking about, like, we're going to do blood samples and this and that if you test it with these things, right? And you can see him as a person, as just a normal person. He doesn't have to be super smart, a doctor or anything like that crazy, right? Where he's like, well, if this does that to them and we're talking about it infects his everything as a whole, then we're going to trust out their blood and we're going to do this. Like, you can see the leaps that he gets there.
Yeah.
Nothing is that where, like, you don't – it's not unbelievable to the character, and it's not unbelievable to in the movie either. Like,
right.
All the leaps are done well.
Yeah. What do you think of Dr. Cooper? Copper or Cooper? Cooper. Copper. Sorry. I don't know if it's two P's or two L's. He's the one who's building the ship. Turned out to be the big bad at the end because he was the one that was first assimilated, probably from the dog.
Right.
And managed to live out this long.
Yeah.
And make shit. He... It's an interesting journey because, first of all, great acting, by the way, by Richard Dysart?
Isn't that the guy from The Firm?
What, one of the lawyers? Oh, no. No, the henchman guy. The lead henchman.
The main guy.
That looks just like him. I think that might be him.
That might be him, yeah.
I'm not 100%, but you watched it more recently than I have.
I did, yeah.
So he is fascinating because the movie does a really good job of actually making you believe he is not an alien. Because I think that second scene when he's like, hey, Mac, I'm not crazy anymore. Please let me out. He's talking like I would be after a day or two of like stewing in there. Like he will talk exactly like I would. It's like the alien imitating the best way possible. And it's scarier because of the fact that you find out that he was an alien the whole time. This alien is really good at imitating. And better than the other ones almost. Because the other ones he has to portray to be an idiot. This one he's a doctor. And he's talking to MacReady and MacReady's about to, you know, shut him up like, I'll think about it. And he's like, hey, MacReady, let me out. Dude, I'm good. Look at me. I need to get out of here.
It's the other doctor, Dr. Blair. That's the guy who's in
Blair.
It. Blair, yeah. That's the one we're talking about. Cooper was the...
Copper. Am I messing
up? Yeah, Copper. You're Copper. My apologies. Yeah.
No, my bad. There's a lot of people.
Copper
here.
Was the main doctor, and then Cooper was...
Wilford Brimley.
Wilford Brimley, yeah. He's in all the big ones. Cocoon, The Firm, The Thing. Yeah.
The
Thes, yeah. Right.
My bad, guys. Anyway, okay. Really good. I love his performance in that.
I do agree though. That scene wins
me. He made me doubt again.
Wins me over. Yeah. I think two or three times already now. Where you're just like, oh yeah, like he's not the guy. Like that's why I like watching a movie. I don't like watching a movie super often, but I watch it often enough. Where like you'll catch.
You still might surprise yourself.
Still might surprise yourself, and you're like, what? Why? Like you know the movie. Like it fucking happens to me in Back to the Future all the time. Like, something stupid happens, and I'm just like. Man, like, why? Why did that? Like, I knew it was like, why? Why did that surprise me? Like, it shouldn't. Like,
yeah,
but yeah,
no, I get it. And another great thing about this movie is, on top of being a really awesome horror movie and sci-fi, is that it's also a mystery. It's a whodunit. It's a constant whodunit, and it works because you never see the alien. I mean, you've seen the alien all the time, but you're not seeing the alien.
Exactly.
What's original? What? How was he encased in that ice thing?
Never know.
You have no idea.
You have no idea.
But he's still just as scary.
That's what there's this brief moment where you think it's going to go super sci-fi, and I would say if this movie was made now, it would go sci-fi. Where they're like,
oh, 2011 did something like that.
Exactly. Where I think they're like, we have the videotapes, right? Well, let's go watch the tapes, right? And then they're like. Yeah, that's a lot. They go through some of it. They're like, there's so many tapes. There's like,
9 hours.
It will take a long time for us to go through this, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, and they just don't go through it.
Yeah.
Like, guess what?
They see enough.
Yeah, exactly. They've seen enough. Like, who gives a fuck? That's why, right? Like, in the end, right now, we have other fucking problems. Like,
they have proof. They discover something they shouldn't have.
Right, exactly.
Fuck now. Let's deal with it.
But I love it how.
It's not like at the end of the movie, they'll say, this is how we
But I love it. And it's funny how they thought the same as the Norwegians. Obviously, the Norwegians were like, hey, like, we found this thing, and they didn't know what was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But the typical American thing, we're like, oh, we'll be able to control it. We're like, someone's going to win the Pulitzer for this.
The Nobel Prize
for this. And I'm like, of course, like...
They're right, though.
But they're
right. That's a big fucking find.
It is a big fucking find, for sure. It's just funny.
It's funny how they don't think they would. Like, as a grunts, they don't deserve it.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how Nobel Prizes work. They discovered it. I mean, Norwegians did.
Yeah.
So I guess. If they keep that part out, maybe not. I don't know. well, none of them make it. That's another wonderful thing. Everyone dies.
Everyone dies.
I mean, Childs and MacReady are not going to make it out.
No.
Unless one of them is an alien.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
And also, here's another funny thing that no one really talks about, but I'm letting the movie do it because... This whole alien thing is that the whole reason that test is so awesome, the blood test, which totally works every time I see it, like the tension building is so good.
Fucking good.
And then when Windows comes up or whatever the guy's name is, the other guy, he starts materializing to a monster. Like, oh, yes.
Bitch, fucking Windows.
Yeah. I don't think it was Windows. I think we're making fun of the wrong
guy. No, it was him.
No, I don't.
No, it's not the him that pops up. He's the bitch with the flamethrower who doesn't find it.
Oh, he fucks up, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like the guy who turns into...
No, it was somebody else.
Yeah, it was the asshole.
No, everybody in this movie fucking hates Windows.
Yeah, they mistreat him
a lot. They mistreat,
Yeah, they do.
They're like, first of all, he doesn't want to communicate on the radio, right? And then, or he's like, I've been communicating for weeks, what the fuck, right?
Yeah.
He's tired.
Everyone treats him like shit.
Yeah, everyone treats him like shit. And then everyone keeps like,
he's the most Sizzlack of the group.
Yeah, he's the most. Oh my God. He actually has a hairstyle like most Sizzlack.
A little bit.
Yep.
Anyway, what I was saying is that on a molecular level, there's no way this monster doesn't live because every cell is an alien that can assimilate. So technically, you could, I mean, yeah, if you burn everything, yes, but they're not actually burning everything. You don't think there's a tissue sample they're going to scrape out of this? If they won't. I mean, and whenever
I love the beauty of this is that they're in Antarctica.
Yeah.
And even if that one single tissue manages to live, it's there. It's frozen. The odds of another thing to
live. I guess that's the movie. Obviously, it's not a big deal. It's a small gripes. But.
It is a small thing. Yeah.
But
that's what makes the movie not super huge as a sci-fi, though.
Yeah. Although this movie loves, J&B Scotch? It's like five scenes.
Showing
drinking.
Yeah.
With Kurt Russell.
Right.
The heartthrob of the 80s, you know, so. Let's talk about we talked about the alien in many ways. We did. What's your favorite fucking horror scene, man? What's the one that sticks out the most, or what's the ones you want to talk about them? I mean, almost like you could talk about them as mise-en-scène things or whatever. You could talk about as cinephiles too. The way they constructed.
I still think it's a dog scene for me. It's where he's killing all of when the alien first opens itself. That thing is fucking bonkers.
In the kennel? And then when it has like a weird muscle thing come up, and then it has an eyeball come out.
Dude, it's so freaky.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
When they're doing the autopsy, by the way, they had real pig's guts in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the guy, that doctor, I think that was Dr. Cooper Copper.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He is was an actual veterinarian or something, so it didn't bother him at all.
Oh, that's...
Or something like that.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool.
But everyone was grossed out.
But I mean, that's a really big scene because the dog is trying to escape for its life. It's biting away. I mean, it's a really cool scene.
And so the dog also, that's a funny scene because that dog gets sprayed by the thing, sprayed by this green goo. And then minutes later, when everyone's on there and trying to, figure out what's going on, and it's about to be assimilated by it. It gets taken by the tentacles of it.
Yeah.
It's decomposing. It's like an acid.
Yeah.
I wonder why it doesn't use it at any other point in the movie.
That's a good question.
And I wonder if maybe it has to do with just the dog DNA of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, we don't know anything about this thing, but that was the case.
Yeah, no, that is true. I don't know. Maybe it had enough to shoot assimilate it already.
Oh, maybe.
And it was just trying to get rid of things.
Oh, maybe the more it's assimilated something, it can actually make better use of it.
Yeah. Well, what's the beauty thing about turning into a dog is that, or an animal is just... You're an animal. You're an animal. What's going to happen? But if a human, it's a lot more complex. You have memories. You have, ways of thinking.
And also, you're like, the whole point of you assimilating a human in this particular case, in this camp, is to hide in plain sight.
Yeah.
You're working to hide. You're not working to attack.
Exactly.
I mean, to take over, yes.
Right.
And I love that. One of my favorite scenes that isn't horror-driven is... when they burn the first one, they burn that weird doctor with the hand, and they figure out this is an alien, this is the problem. The movie figures out the conflict. Everyone knows the conflict. MacReady looks at over all of them. He's like, I know I'm human. I don't know about the rest of you. I don't know the exact speech. But he says something like, I know that if all of you were aliens, you would attack me right now. So I know some of you are human. And I love how he says that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
one. He's like, and now we got to figure this shit out. It's so good. I love that setup. The movie starts for real there. Because that's when everyone knows the stakes. You know the stakes.
Why do you think he went back and deleted what he said on the recording?
Oh, just the last part?
Yeah.
I think he didn't want to show that he was losing hope.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that what it was?
I don't remember the line, but it was something about
I forgot what he said exactly.
If we can make it or if I don't
know. No, he says, I think they're turning on me or something like that, or not turning on me or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said something like that, and then he rewinded it and then recorded it, and then he just said, this is my last thing of whatever, and recorded over it.
Right.
So.
Which, ideally, if they ever make they will in general, because this movie's huge. They might make another one, and they'll probably start with, ooh, I found the tapes,
Right.
But, also, they burnt everything down. I'm pretty sure those tapes didn't survive, right?
Yeah.
Kind of a moot point.
He hit it or something.
I guess he must have in the ice or something. Yeah. It has to be something like that.
Well, the thing is, exactly.
Or in a strong box, right?
Yeah.
That could survive. So, horror scenes, you said the dog thing. For me, I think it has to be the, it's never the last one. Never the last one. But it's for me, it was when they bring in that body. This is after the autopsy scene. This is the spider head one.
Oh, yeah. That's really creepy. Where they burn it. They burn the body, and it manages to split off.
Yes.
And then it makes a spider head.
That was so cool.
Fuck.
When it's splitting and it's stretching, the tendons and ligaments and whatever,
yeah.
and little bubbles of green come out. That's just the best. I love that. And then they burn the spider head. And then the fire really, flamethrowers really, I mean, I'm not, I don't know 100% how it is, but man, things go on fire fast. Like, jeez, I'm surprised they were able to contain it all those times before the ending.
Well, there was like four people with fire.
Also, like, clearly the problem with the ending, and this is funny because with movies like this, they always show off, they blow their load, so to speak, in the first half. Because they have to, wow, you have to get you in. And also, it surprises them as much as the audience. So the later scenes will never beat the first ones. The first half, the dogs and the...
Yeah.
Right. So when the monster turns so huge at the end, it's not as big for me as it is, as satisfying for me as a horror fan than the autopsy scene, for example.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, but I think that's the case for almost all these kind of movies. Almost all.
But what
of them.
Do you do? Like,
that's so hard to top yourself. You can't do it.
Yeah, what do you do? Like,
yeah. You're so used to it by then, too. It's no... It just lacks a little bit, not like a lot. It's still a good movie, a great movie. But there's that scene we know where they all separate. They just put the dynamites. Never separate. You should have gone together with all of them. I know the idea of that. The problem with that would be it takes more time, and chances are he might take down dynamite in between all three.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not saying it's perfect, but never separate, because obviously that's where it fucked up. That's where it got more fucked up. Anyway,
exactly.
Really great movie, though. Anything else you want to add or talk about?
No, man. I mean, I can't think of anything else. It's just a really good movie.
Again, too bad it came out when E.T. was still running in theaters, because that movie killed every other movie,
sort of got.
But that, man, 1982 was a big year for sci-fi, right?
Did Close Encounters of the Third Kind come out that year, too?
No. I don't think Spielberg got two movies out that year, did he?
Is that Spielberg also?
E.T. did Spielberg.
No, Third Kind.
He did, yeah. I thought you knew that, right? Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Well, I didn't know it was E.T. first.
I think E.T. came out...
maybe it was his Mexican brother, Spielberg.
Spielberg? Yeah. Totally was. All right, so that's our review of The Thing, our classic review. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our second horror film of the evening, a newer movie called The Bad Batch. Stay with us.
We weren't good enough, smart enough, young enough. All the things you've done have put you right here with me.
This here is the Bad Batch.
What do you really want?
I want to be the solution for something.
In a future dystopia in Texas, newly minted as a Bad Batch, Arlen is thrown in the desert. She must weigh and wade through two makeshift societies, one a group of cannibals and the other a town led by pretty lights and small commerce. This is The Bad Batch, written and directed by Anna Lily Amirpour, the lady who made her bones a couple years ago in 2014 with a movie called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Which I really dug. It's like a vampire movie, but the movie is almost all atmospheric and almost all tone and emotion. Virtually plotless. There is a plot, of course, but virtually plotless, which reminds me of The Bad Batch in many ways. But this is her first American film, and it stars, I should say that shit too, Suki Waterhouse as Arlen. Jason Momoa is in this movie. Jada Fink, Keanu Reeves is in it, Jim Carrey's in it, Yolanda Ross, Giovanni Ribisi's in it. A lot of like side people and side characters are in it. Some of them for one scene, some others for more scenes. But Jason Momoa and Suki Waterhouse and Jada Fink are the main players. All right. And the movie opens right away with this thing where the movie kind of just a briefest of time tells you that in this post-apocalyptic looking world, society puts its shitty people, its criminals, its whatever they don't like, as Bad Batch people, and they put them into the desert, this open area desert, and just let them fend for themselves. They give them one cheeseburger and a serial number, and that's it. behind their ear.
Is the cheeseburger just like, that's what they get?
It's like that. That's like, here's some food to make you last long enough to walk to your death or something. I don't know what it's for, but that's what they gave you. They gave you a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And the movie, it's very strange. It opens with that, and as the opening credits go, I mean. And this Arlen chick, who is like 20-something at most, doesn't look like she deserves to be there, but she's there. And the movie is pretty much a bizarre tonal exercise of filmmaking from that point on. And there's some strange scenes of drug use and hallucinogenic stuff. There's some scenes of, heat and dying. There's some scenes of genuine terror. A little bit of that. Not as much as you think.
Yeah, or not as much as the movie kind of makes you think also.
Right. But definitely some horror stuff that is played to be very practical and like secondary. Like the horror in this movie is background stuff. It isn't the foreground of anything. Nothing is horror in the movie, but there's horror in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's a strange movie to call it a horror movie, but it technically is because we see body parts and shit. So, whatever, right? So this movie's a strange one, and I guess as far as impressions go, I'll go first on this one. And I would say that I am on the ropes as to how I completely feel about it. We talked about it briefly a few minutes ago, Ralph, off air, so we can, get the lay of the land here. And I would say that as much as I'm struggling to figure out whether I like it or love it or dislike it or whatever, I definitely don't hate it. So I'm definitely leaning towards a camp of liking it more. And I do like it. I just don't know how much. And I don't know why, 100%. I like 50% know why. And I think this director is really fascinating. Definitely her own style. No one's going to... I mean, you can't even mimic her style, much less copy her or anything like that. You can't do anything like that. She's her own fucking director. And I like that about it. I like has a vision. I just don't know what the vision means. So that's my initial impression of this movie. And I definitely liked her first movie better. I don't know why it worked for me better, the vampire movie, but it did.
Setting, maybe?
Yeah, I guess so.
You're more of a horror guy, too. So.
Yeah, I really love the darkness of that. See what I mean? Yeah. So, Ralph, what did you think?
There's a lot of light in this movie.
Almost all of it's in daytime. I mean, yeah. There's like two night scenes or three.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a weird movie where you get very little information about something that's kind of interesting. For me, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But that's not what the movie's about, right? Kind of like the thing.
I said post-apocalyptic earlier. I meant dystopia. They're not like dystopia. Civilization's still around. Sorry.
Yeah, civilization's still around.
Misspoke
but there. It definitely feels like it's this weird. It's like this weird dystopian thing where it's just where you, if you don't conform to society's rules, they just kick you out.
True.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, yeah, for sure.
Because this girl does not feel like she
You meet
be.
A lot of people, and clearly not all of them are murderers. Some of them are genuinely nice people. Some of them are just like...
Some of them are also disabled.
Disabled people.
Yeah. Right. So you're just like, that's kind of fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's those things. Yeah, like so the movie does this, I don't know, there's a lot of different themes going on, or a lot of different things going on in the movie where I don't know what it wants to be. And it's more of a journey, and there's not really a plot right for this movie, right? And we're following this girl's Arlen's life as a bad batch, right?
yeah.
And I guess exploring what she wants while she's there, or what while she's been there. So I guess if I took anything from the movie, that's exactly what this movie is about, right?
Yes.
Which is fine for me. I don't have a problem.
The plot is very broad strokes.
Very broad strokes, yeah.
Right.
I normally do like a plot in a movie. That's fine. I have no problem watching a movie like this.
This is the opposite of a heist movie.
Yeah, for sure.
For example. No,
completely opposite. I love heist movies, by the way.
Right, I know.
Fucking love them.
Me too.
Yeah. No. But what I think is the thing with the movie is like, things happen, like so, with the cannibal stuff, and just early on in the movie, and the tones is just there's a lot of different tones going on in the movie, and you don't know where you're gonna go. Like it flips back and forth, like horror aspects, not horror aspects.
Some of them genuinely funny,
right?
Nice and what?
But thinking about it and talking more about it, I mean, that's generally life, though. Like that's just this shit happens in life. No one gives you a script and be like, by the way, you're going to get a car accident today.
Right.
Right. So, like, it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know?
So yeah, that's life could happen like that. One week you could be fucking amazing, and then the next week you're like completely shitty.
True. So I would say that if there's a really good thing to say about this movie is that you never know where it's gonna go.
Exactly. That is one thing. That is one good thing.
I mean, when she finds this town called Comfort, yeah. You have no idea what's in there.
No idea. And then there's no explanation.
Definitely not Comfort.
Wait, and then no explanation either.
Right. Why it's called that, or where it's going.
There's a lot of cool things that I would want to know.
Right.
But it's just not there, and that's because that's what the movie wants to do. That's fine. Overall, like I'm leaning the same way where you. I don't hate the movie, but I don't know why I like it.
Right.
And I don't know what to like about it. So, and that's the thing. Like,
yeah, let's see if
there's
not
one. Because, like I said, it is a journey movie, but like, it's just weird. Like, I don't.
It's an abstract journey.
Yeah.
Before we get to spoilers, which I think we should get to quick, just because we don't know where to begin with this movie. It's the acting. First of all, Arlen. I don't think I've seen it before. Suki Waterhouse. Kills it. And the practical effects, there was the arm thing, early in the movie, she gets, basically as soon as she gets into the Bad Batch area, she gets kidnapped by cannibals, her leg and her arm is cut off, to be eaten at some point, and they eat it, and it's a fucked up scene. And it's right away, and they keep her chained up doing menial labor.
They cauterize her and everything.
Or at least until they can want to eat more off her. That's essentially what she's there
for. Oh, yeah. She's there for...
She's cattle.
Yeah, she's cattle.
So, and throughout the whole movie, she has a missing arm. Now, she has a leg thing, a peg leg going on, so that's able to work out more.
She's got a prosthetic.
But it's all like practical effects, by the way, in this movie. There's no CGI as far as the arm goes and stuff. So, that's kind of cool. More than cool. We talked about The Thing earlier, and this movie totally rewards...
it just makes it better. I honestly feel like, because the other person is in it, and it doesn't feel awkward.
Yeah.
Or it does feel awkward, and it kind of should.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So that works out for me, and Arlen is a good actress. You know.
I do agree. Yeah, she knocks it out of the park, for sure.
She does a lot of a range of emotions.
Yeah.
From being high, to being confused, to being excited, to being
terrified. And then the thing is also, does she ever say her age in this movie?
No.
But we're thinking like
I put her at 22.
I was thinking early 20s, if not like just about to be 20 or something like that, right? Because she's not super smart, right? I hate to say it.
She's born in 1992, so she's 25.
Okay.
Today.
Yeah, according to the movie?
I mean, today she's 25.
Oh, today she's 25. But I'm talking about in the movie.
No, that's probably made 2 years ago, 3 years ago, so probably 22, 23 is right.
Yeah, what I'm saying, what's it called in the movie, the Arlen, the character,
they never say,
but I'm saying for me she feels like maybe she graduated high school at best, and then after that just that's it. So it's kind of weird because she doesn't know a lot of things, and at the same time she's like naive,
but also put someone who's known the world so well and put him in this place that's new to him anyway.
I agree, but I'm talking about just in general, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a few scenes where she's like, how she reacts or how she's doing things, and you're like, especially that one weird scene, which I'm wanting into spoilers already, with the mirror.
Yeah.
What's it called? And the magazine.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay. Like, there's like interesting things.
Definitely.
Yeah, so.
And
because she acts childish a lot at moments. And then not at other moments. It's kind of weird.
Let's talk about Aquaman. I mean, Jason Momoa, who is...
Is he Aquaman?
Yeah, he didn't know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is. He is going to be this year. In a week or two. The movie's coming out soon, like next month.
Is it?
Justice League?
Yeah.
Yeah, this year it's coming out.
No, I know it's this year. By the way, totally surprised it was coming out this year.
Right.
Like, someone gave me...
They pushed that shit fast.
Someone told me it was coming out this year, and I was like, no, it's not.
Right, that's what I said first.
And they were like, it's coming out, like, end of the year.
The trailer has been out. Yeah.
There's a trailer already?
There's two of them, I think.
Oh, I missed them.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
It's okay, you're not missing much.
I'm pretty sure.
but Jason Momoa is definitely in it. And they use him the best way possible. He's like the leader of these cannibals. You could tell by the way that everyone acts around him, by the way he's so carefree of his actions. And he seems to be the only one with a kid. So I think all these things add up to him being the leader, but there's no real de facto. I don't think there's anything like that.
There's a weird scene with him in the beginning because you see him. He's doing like a trade, right?
He's also carving up pieces. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Exactly. He's doing like a trade, right? Yeah. A deal or something with somebody, right? And you obviously see him with a bunch of lunkheads, but you don't know. Like, it's really weird.
Everyone's muscle bound.
Everyone.
In that area.
Yeah.
All filled with like airplane debris.
It's fucking bonkers.
Very cool sets. But they're
though. Reminded me of Con Air. But yeah, continue.
Oh, the graveyard?
Yeah.
The airplane graveyard or whatever? That was kind of cool. That was way more rusted. Those were like all white, though.
Yeah, these were like,
different.
Yeah.
Wow. Con Air.
By the way, I saw that like.
Kids, ask your parents.
I saw like a couple months ago, and I was like.
Nicolas Cage at his best? I don't even know. But he.
You know what I am?
The movie uses him well, because they use it. He didn't say a word for a long time. And when he does, he's. I didn't know he was Hispanic in some way.
Yeah.
He is, so. As a Latino, I guess. Yeah. Maybe that's better. But yeah, he's. I think he's. Well, he's. The man movie. Himself, he's from Hawaii, but he does the Spanish really well.
Yeah, he does.
Know it well. And I'm glad the movie doesn't uses his physicality to the best of its abilities, where he doesn't need to speak unless he has to.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's interesting, yeah.
Like with this kid, he doesn't say a single fucking word unless he has to.
Yeah.
Like, unless he says, like, don't go there. But even then, like, it's like, here's food. I'm drawing paints of you. The kid takes over to paint. Like, all right.
Oh, and I love, like
all this stuff.
Well, like, I love that he's drawing, and I'm like, that's a weird skill to have. And then when he explains it,
that he's a
tattoo artist. Exactly. And then when he's exactly, and you're like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. We're spoilers. Are we going to get into spoilers?
No, we're about to now.
Let's just get into it.
Okay.
Because I think we're about to spoil
for the Bad Batch starting right now.
You're Ken. You're evil. That's what you are. Evil.
You don't see things how they are. You only see things how you are.
I don't care. I hate you. Get it? I hate all of y'all.
No problema para mí. It's okay.
He dies. He dies at one point.
Everyone's a walking dead in this show.
That's true.
Movie. That's the thing is that how do you spoil this movie? Yeah, he does say that in the third act that he's a tattooist, but what does that spoil?
I'm talking about at this point, we're just all over the map.
The reason he's called Miami Man is because it's tattooed on him. He doesn't even fucking say his own name.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Man, what do you want to talk about? Because I feel like all the people that she meets that isn't Jason Momoa, because he's the one that gives her the most to do. So, if any, that's why he's second fiddle to the best actress or the best character or the main character. It's because, you know, he gives her the threat, like, hey, if you don't bring my daughter back, son, daughter, if you don't bring my daughter back, I'm going to kill you, and I can't go in there because they'll kill me, or whatever, right? That whole thing. It's funny that he doesn't know, and then it comes up that Arlen's the one who killed his wife or girlfriend or mother or whatever. So weird.
It's so weird.
The kid never says anything either.
Yeah.
But the kid's clearly taking after his father, who fucking doesn't say a word to anything.
Clearly.
So, I don't know. Damn. And I don't think the movie cares about that kind of thing. Clearly, it's all mood. It's all mood. Every scene is about a mood they're striking. It's all about a sense.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so hard to pinpoint my feelings on it.
Yeah, that's
can I even recommend this movie? I can't recommend it to a regular Joe Schmo, but can I recommend it to a friend of mine or two? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe if I tell them preemptively to take some acid right before. Or get high, pot, whatever. Or nothing. Just be like having a bum day, watch this movie. Maybe it'll make you feel better or not. I have no idea.
What it will.
I have no idea.
Hey, maybe you want to get confused.
Maybe that's the point of the movie. Like, it's so not experimental, but it's so, like, it's so unique and untraceable that it's you're supposed to kind of struggle with it. And I think the more we're struggling with it, it's like a straitjacket. The harder it'll be to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, it honestly feels like I have a lot of, like if I had a lot of thoughts in my head, right? And I thought overall of this world, and then I started thinking about other things. Oh, this character would be awesome in this world. This would think would be awesome in this world. And then all of them were put there, but they're all background.
Yeah.
And then you put somebody else that lives in this world or just roams in the world, right? And then all these other amazing characters are there, right? They exist. Then they all have their own story arc, right? But you're never going to get to see them.
Yeah, it's almost like you could make a really good but different movie of every character. Giovanni Ribisi, who is obviously mentally challenged and from something probably or from origin. And then you have Keanu Reeves, who started this whole comfort society and has all these like wives,
concubines,
like concubines, right? Like Mormon or something. And they're all pregnant. All pregnant.
Yeah. Or about to be.
Or about to be, right? Yeah. And like, Jesus, this guy's spreading his seed. And yeah. Keanu Reeves is so weird. And clearly the worst part of the movie because he fits way less than anyone else. But is that the point of the movie? Maybe he's good at it.
It's weird.
I don't know. Yeah. So I can't really fault him for that.
Right.
And by the way, if you see Keanu Reeves from this year, not only John Wick 2, he also did he was in a movie called To the Bone, which I mentioned. He plays a psychiatrist. I'm like, why are you here?
Why are you here?
Where's your suit?
And then you have this this helper, Drifter, who's fucking Jim Carrey.
Who's Jim Carrey?
Like, the
doesn't say a word. And you wouldn't recognize him unless you really know him.
Yeah. Because he's dirty.
He's dirty as fuck.
And like,
and just sunglasses and a hood and everything.
Yeah. What you would think of a homeless man who's just like roaming the earth
with like a shopping cart.
Yeah, with a shopping cart. That's exactly what he is.
That's exactly what he is. And he doesn't say a word. He just helps people that he finds that he wants to help. But yeah, he helps everyone seemingly. Doesn't friend or foe.
Yeah, exactly. What we consider friend or foe.
Right.
Right.
Right, so. Because to him, he probably doesn't see that.
Yeah, exactly. He just helps people from being killed if he can.
Yeah. Right. One thing I do love about this movie that kind of shows something really cool, even though it's not about it, it's like another background thing, like the horror in the movie, is that it shows the many ways that human beings can survive in such desolate. I mean, you can survive in all these. Like, we think of it now, like, can we survive without water? I'm like, man, no, I can't survive without drinking something every hour. But you really can. If you're out there in the Nile, or if you're out there in olden times, if you're out there like these people are, there's ways to survive. If you had no choice, you would survive.
I think that, yeah.
That was kind of cool.
That is cool.
I mean, it's like an exaggerated version, but not.
For sure. And we also don't know how established, how long this has been going on.
Clearly a bit. Clearly long enough
to where there's a town.
Two settlements.
For sure, it's two settlements.
It's like the Wild West, but fucked up.
But fucked up, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. But with techno music.
Right. It's like Bone Tomahawk kind of reminds me of that.
But that's a cool movie.
That's a Western, but with fucked up shit.
Some
fucked up shit.
Especially the ending.
Yeah. It's definitely not like Cowboys and Aliens, though.
I didn't see that.
Well, they combine two different things. I'm just trying to riff on that.
Sure.
Like another thing that's understated in the movie, like I said, this movie is technically horror, but it's only technically horror because Jason Momoa is feeding his children a leg of human.
Child, but yeah.
Instead of leg of lamb. Leg of human.
Yeah. And he's committing these brutal acts.
But it's all backwards. It's all backwards. Like, it's all background. It doesn't matter.
He does it, and you see the reason he does it.
He's being caring.
Yeah.
But it's...
Right, and then he's like also doing a fucking portrait of his daughter.
Yeah, when he kills that girl just to kill her.
Yeah,
like you could tell he probably wanted just her leg.
Yeah,
and he did obviously.
Yeah,
eat
but
her.
she was being a pain in the fucking
pain in the ass. So he just killed her. That's why he put the music on because like she's being louder than the music.
Right, exactly.
And also, this movie has an interesting soundtrack of pop music. From some of it we know, some of it we don't.
Yeah,
and some of it was synth and techno.
Yeah.
Worked out.
Yeah,
did it work out?
Yeah.
Okay, kind of like reminds you of Sofia Coppola making weird music into things.
Yeah.
So that was a good touch. I don't know. I think we're positive in the movie. I just don't know why.
We are positive, but it's just like it's just weird because, like I said, the movie is there's a lot. I guess I don't know. I put it just how I. It's like playing Fallout. Have you ever played Fallout?
No.
Playing a game like that, Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, anything like that. Right?
Oh, where anything goes.
Yeah. But literally, there's story arcs everywhere. If you choose to talk to them, if you choose to go there, and the guy's just like, no, I just choose to go to this.
Right,
and that's your story. That's exactly what that is. There's a world. You can talk to everybody.
That's a good feeling.
That's how I see this movie.
I like that. That makes me like the movie more because I like that example.
It does make me like the movie more also because I like my example as well.
Nice one.
Just because I came up with it.
Let's talk about the ending, and I guess we'll cut it there because I just don't know where else. What's your favorite scene in the movie that you don't know what to describe? So,
it was definitely her escape.
The movie ends with
I like how
strange
smart
thing.
She
declines comfort in more ways than one because it is more comforting for her. She is technically safer there, but that doesn't matter to her. Her mental stability matters to her more, and. Netflix. IMDb has a weird description of describing this movie as a love story, which I never saw until the end.
Yeah.
Only in the way that she sticks by Jason Momoa's Miami Man and saving his kid. His kid was living in comfort in a way that Jason Momoa's character is not going to be able to do for her.
Yeah. She even wants spaghetti at one point.
Right. Okay. She asked for spaghetti instead of human meat. Human spaghetti. So that was very interesting, but it ends with them not in any society, not in any encampment, but just the three of them sitting, not even around a campfire, but just sitting around, they're eating, right? That's how it ends. So what do you think of that ending?
I don't know. I mean, it obviously feels like she wanted something and she didn't know what she wanted. And I think she felt that she would rather not be in comfort. And obviously, it's weird because she also caused the problem, right? That she's into, right. That she's in. Right. But she took the kid. She lost the kid. Right? Well, she killed the mom.
Right.
And then now, accidentally, she's helping the father. What's it called? Bring the kid back. Like,
super weird.
And now she's apparently in love with him, according to IMDb. Or whoever wrote the fucking thing.
Right.
Like, no, but like, she ended up choosing instead of being in comfortable.
Chosen by her.
Living
that's, comfort. That's the difference? Like she...
Yeah, living comfortably or living to someone else's comfort, because it's Keanu Reeves' comfort, I would say.
Totally.
What's it called? She wanted something for herself that she chose, not just being stuck somewhere. And even though she chose to be stuck with the cannibals, which is kind of weird.
Or a cannibal,
at least, right?
Yeah.
She still chose that. That's still her decision.
Yeah.
So I guess that's for the movie.
That's a good reading, but I think the main important thing is that this movie is open to interpretations.
Yeah, it is.
But I know the arc of this whole thing is her to figure something out, and whatever she wanted out of this world, she got it at the end of the movie, and that's why the movie ended. Whatever that is, though, could be anything that you want.
Yeah, that's the problem. It could be love.
Problem or solution.
Yeah, this is the problem where it's... I guess this is where it's open to interpretation, where for me, it's... for me, it's what I just said, right?
I like yours a lot.
Right, sure. Yeah. Mine's, I guess, is more, I don't know.
For me, I'm still reeling into making a decision for my own, if whatever that is. Or if I just the fact that it's open and that's my ending.
These are the connections I made. Somebody else going to make a different connection.
I think so.
Or
there's so many people and so many weird characters.
Because in the end, we don't get nobody. No one tells us what's going on.
Yeah.
Things just happen and they progress and then things just end because that's how it happens.
Yeah, things happen to her until she starts making things happen.
Exactly.
In many ways.
Exactly.
So... I like the ending. Again, I don't know exactly why, but we've articulated some points that I think work for its benefit. And I find the movie that it's definitely cool, original.
Original as fuck.
Yeah, as fuck.
For sure.
And I recommend it for those reasons, if not other reasons, whenever I get to them.
I would agree with you as well. It's random people in random roles.
Yeah.
For sure. Like Jim Carrey doesn't even talk.
Against their usual foray.
Keanu
Reeves, too.
Right.
I mean, Momoa still plays.
What I like about the movie What I like about the movie is that we never, ever give anybody more screen time than they needed.
No
one feels like this guy's a big name actor, and we put him in
also,
here.
Also, yeah,
this
no
reason.
One's there for any longer than they should be.
Exactly.
That's, no one overstays really the welcome. That's a good one. Yeah. You're right. That is a good one. The editing must be it's nice. And
our
tight
main
for
actress
a movie
is Arlen,
that.
And if Arlen's not in the movie, we need to come back to her.
Right. Exactly.
It's her journey.
Yeah, I think she's in every scene.
I want to say she is.
Yeah. I'm not 100%, but I think so. So that's our questionable review of The Bad Batch that we recommend.
Definitely recommend somebody to watch it. And I would love somebody to tweet me an opinion or something. So
please. Oh, you can email us here at the show at podmoviecast@gmail.com.
Are we closing?
No, but I'm just reminding them.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
You can email it to, because opinions are, I want these kind of opinions. These kind of movies always interest me. So that's The Bad Batch. That's a review of that. We're going to move on to our next review, our last one of the evening. With Suburbicon. Let's see what that's about.
That's with Matt Damon, right? I'm sorry, I couldn't hold myself. Fucking shit.
Yeah, and ER Doctor himself, George Clooney.
Seriously?
Directed it.
ER Doctor?
I mean, that's the most famous role, come on.
I guess. I was watching The American recently.
Look at the good movie. I love that movie. Anyway, stay with us, guys.
Welcome to Suburbicon, a town of great wonder and excitement.
Hey there.
Built with the promise of prosperity for all.
Maggie, you need to get up. There are men in the house. Son, there's something I have to tell you.
Those men killed your mom.
We've decided it'd be best if your Auntie Margaret came and stayed with us.
Mickey needs a mother.
We'll be strong. We'll be fine.
Mr. Lodge?
Yes.
You know a character named Rizzoli? He's a loan shark. If you were into the mob for money, that might explain what happened to your wife.
Hi, pal.
A home invasion rattles a quiet family. A new black family rattles the entire town. Those are the two Okay. IMDb had the worst description, basically, so I had to add to
it. Well, aren't they sent by anonymous people if they're not sent by the publisher or by the distributor?
Well, they're idiots, so they're not sending it to them. What the fuck? So, because, you know, we just saw the movie, but we're reviewing Suburbicon here, so I just saw it today and didn't have time to write one up, make one up, you know. For some reason, I was hoping that they would provide one for me, like they usually do 99 times out of 10.
Well, it just came out, too. Maybe next week we'll have a better one.
Yeah, that's no excuse. None of that is an excuse. So this little film, you know, it stars Matt Damon, Julianne Moore, Oscar Isaac, Noah Jupe. I hope that's how you pronounce it.
Hupe.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly his name. Mm-hmm. Also stars Julianne Moore again. my God, where's this actor? Oh, Glenn Fleshler. I want to mention him. He plays the big guy in the movie.
Okay.
The Big Enforcer. Yeah. And it's written by a bunch of people, primarily Joel and Ethan Coen.
Who are the kids?
What?
What are the kids?
Yeah, just one kid.
No, the black kid and the kid.
The black kid looks familiar.
He was from another movie recently or something.
Is he Andy? Tony Espinosa? He's the only kid-looking kid here. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's the only one. Joel and Ethan Coen wrote it, also with George Clooney and Grant Heslov. And is directed by George Clooney. This is his like fifth or sixth, I forget. But you know, he's an actor and a director, so and apparently a little bit of a writer. So this is a movie that has been bombarded with lots of trailers for it. Like we've been seeing trailers for this movie for a while before this week when it finally came out.
Have we?
At least I have. Every time I go to the movies, I kind of see a trailer for it.
I haven't. Then again, I haven't really been going to the movies lately. But I haven't seen a trailer for this except for one a while ago. I don't know how long ago. All
right. Well, that's fine. So this is going to be a strange review because we both just came away from it. And I think we both feel similarly. You tell me a little bit. But based on that, I know how I feel. So, and you know now.
Also, you have to feel out how I felt so you know how you feel?
No, that's not true. I'm saying, based on what you told me.
Oh, understood.
And if I'm saying we feel similar, that means I feel the same as you.
Yeah, I mean, this is first impressions, like coming out of literal first impressions, because I haven't really had much time to formulate.
I don't think there's much in this movie. So here's the thing, is that this movie is very middling. I think it kind of sucked, is my regular guy criticism of it.
Yeah, I guess.
It's kind of a weird... This is a weird movie. A weird movie that doesn't work.
Yeah. Kind of fucked up movie, too.
A little fucked up, yeah.
Especially close to the very end, and then a little bit before the end, you know, the conversation.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, that was probably my favorite scene.
Yeah, I would say probably the same thing.
Yeah, the most fucked up scene in the movie is probably my favorite. yeah, so this movie is it's strange because it's not really just about a home invasion. It's not really just about his family moving in. It's like I had this movie's problem, which has a lot of them, is that it doesn't know what it's doing and it doesn't know what its point is. Much like a movie that did it better but also had the same problems, which is Detroit from this year, which I'm not going to spoil that review. We reviewed it already. It's a bonus. It's coming out later for you guys, earlier, obviously, for the ones who donated. But I had similar problems where I would have like this bigger issue but focus on a smaller family interdynamics or, you know, five people instead of a whole city, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this one has the same deal, but they're not connected in really any way other than the fact that... Or if they are, they're too loosely connected that doesn't make any connections.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter anyway because all it shows is that the only people that had any amount of patience or adult leanings that, you know, that are good behaviors, the only people that were civilized were the African-American family living across the way from them.
Yeah.
Which behind at first them. I thought it was on the same street, but it's not.
It's
just
behind them.
Just
yeah.
behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it took me a while to realize, like, why can't they see the mob in front of them?
But it's the neighbors behind them. Right. And, yeah.
Right. And this movie opens with a commercial about Suburbicon, which I thought Suburbicon was more like a metaphor for suburbia, not like an actual name of a town.
Yeah, same here.
But so I was a little surprised that it was actually the name of the town. And it says that Suburbicon is, you know, this wonderful place. Come over here. We have people from different states, as if it's a big deal. And you should come here now. And then it opens up with a mailman delivering mail. Happy sunshiny day.
Kind of like a commercial still.
Exactly. I think the guy looks like a Maytag repair guy.
Actually, I think he's played... the Maytag repair guy maybe, in the commercial.
Maybe he has. He looks that familiar to me. And he, oh, yeah, he's like, and then a black lady, you know, opens the door for his mail, right? And he's going to deliver. And he's like, oh, where's the lady of the house? Obviously assuming, this is, by the way, set in the 50s. I should have said that. And she's like, I mean, I'm the lady, you know, whatever. She says something to Azusum, like, this is my house.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, super awkward. And immediately tells the neighbors, it's like...
And that becomes a big deal.
From that moment on, the movie tells you that it's going to be ridiculous. Not to say people didn't act this way. I'm just saying the way they're acting is unrealistic. Would you agree with that, with this movie?
Unrealistic?
Yeah.
No.
You do think there are realistic?
Yes, that's realistic, yeah.
Think everything in this movie is realistic?
No, like what the way that people acted towards the neighbors moving in?
Yeah.
No, I felt the realistic.
No, no, no. I think their feelings are realistic, but I just don't know if the way everyone reacted.
I mean, it gets portrayed a little bit, yeah. But
he literally
mean,
spies on the same family right after he meets her by telling the other neighbors and hides behind their houses with them. That's not realistic.
Why not?
No, who would do that? No, no one does it that way.
It's like gawking at somebody. It's like a celebrity moved into your house, moved into your neighborhood.
But it's not that. It's something you fear and
hate. But that's the difference. It's like, as I said, it is a celebrity. It's like celebrity status, but a fucking hated celebrity status.
Well, I don't think the movie was trying to say that it was realistic, is my point.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a hyper-realistic version, but I felt it. I mean, yeah, some of it did feel maybe a little bit more rushed because, like, everybody popped out of nowhere, right? But... Overall, I mean, yeah, I do see people gawking, I guess.
It kind of
reminded me a lot of Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, but that's also hyper...
Sure, yeah.
...non-realistic. Yeah. You know, it's a fictional version of something.
Of a guy having scissors
lady.
For hands?
Well, the Avon lady.
Oh, yeah, the Avon lady.
No, just like, you know, how they gossiped, how they had the same hair, how they had the same long... At the same time, they... You know,
yeah,
all that stuff
there is
happen.
That going on.
That's
sure,
the same thing. Yeah.
Sure, but, I mean, the way they reacted for me was realistic, yeah.
Okay. Not me, but that's fine. But I understood the point. So this movie has two threads because after that, there's a home invasion, the home invasion of the movie. Matt Damon's family, his wife and his twin sister. I gotta say that, and then his son.
Yes, please.
They all get accosted by these two men, and robbed. Initially, I thought at first, and correct me if I'm wrong. I thought at first it was because the kid's mother. Or maybe the aunt told her to told the kid to play baseball with the black kid.
That's what I thought too.
So I thought that was the throughway.
Yeah,
I'm like, man,
same here.
That's a very crazy reaction to a kid playing baseball, right? But you know, whatever, predator is a predator, right? They'll just use any excuse to
sure.
whatever they want.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of that whole two opening thing? Just two openings, really.
Right. Well, I didn't mind the first opening, I guess, the one with the black family moving in. And then the second, it was weird. It was a weird thing, especially when you think about it after the movie, that scene with the home invasion.
Yeah.
Because during the movie, nothing super weird has felt about it, besides a lurking sense of danger. And especially when, you know, the whole thing where they all get sat down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's it does feel like very, you know, just it felt weird. It felt like a man, like he felt like he never fought for it. Like he felt almost too nice about it. Like I felt like I would have been cussing them out or doing something. But at the same time, it is the 50s, so it's a kind of weird scenario. Like you don't know how they would react. Like, oh, we'll play nice. We'll take your word for it, even though they're stealing from them. Like, it's like a weird thing where...
Right. Right. And that whole thing plays weird. Like,
it does play weird.
The whole home invasion is really strange.
Yeah. And then it's... I don't know.
It's strange because of the conversations. Like, they keep asking him to deliver them drinks in the trays and, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
And he's doing it, but he's not, like, afraid, but he's, like a coward about it. I don't know. It's very strange.
It's a really weird... Yeah.
When we get to spoilers, I'll explain more what I think of that particular scene.
Yeah, same here.
But because there's a difference between what you know in the beginning of the movie and what you know at the end.
I do say that the kid's reaction is what makes you more afraid of everything.
Well, I'd say the kid, that Noah, he did a good job.
And I almost feel like he's almost very close to the leading actor in this, because I don't like...
They do spend some time just following his point of view.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that home invasion thing, when they all get, like, chloroformed.
Yeah.
Last, and then not last, but whatever. Last, and then so we see his his consciousness dimming and then dimming back when he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
So, like, kind of shows you his POV.
Right, exactly.
And so I would say that the kid, and Julianne Moore are probably the two really good actors in this movie. The rest are either, I mean, they're okay, or they're too small, or I don't think Matt Damon's doing anything special.
Right, there's nothing special going on with Matt Damon.
He's doing, like, a shittier version of his role in Interstellar, when you find out he's like a coward who wants to just get out of the planet no matter what. Like, he caused all those problems. Spoilers for a five-year-old movie. But Interstellar, remember? Do you remember him?
Was he in Interstellar?
Because there's not many Matt Damon movies where he's, like, an asshole or the bad guy. So that's the only one I can think of right now. I'm sure there's another one out there, but there's few and far between, because he's a hero. He's a Hollywood guy, so he'll get the big roles.
Sure.
But in this one, he is playing a weird duality coward-type character with some leanings towards being mean or being standoffish or just, like, unsympathetic. And again, when we get to spoilers, I'll explain more, but he's those things from minute one. And he's not very relatable, and I don't think he's doing that great of a job at it, is my point.
Understood.
But do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything special going on in his role. Agreed.
Before we get into spoilers, I guess, what did you think of the whole the town thing, the whole Suburbicon dealing with this black family and the way they all reacted, the way it was all happening? What did you think of it? Not the outcome, of course, but what did you think of just that whole deal, like, and what was the point of it for you in the movie?
I like the intro of the whole Suburbicon thing. I agree with the weird Suburbicon name being Suburbicon. The whole town reacting like that, I mean, it was just, I don't know, it was, it wasn't anything new that I've seen, but at the same time, it was kind of, it's kind of funny that you, like, the whole, what it's trying to tell you, you're like, dude, you're being the problem, not, like,
yeah,
you know, you are the problem, not them, like, you know, and yeah, it's just it's something that's, I don't know, it's nothing new, so there's no real reaction from
did you like how Gandhi-esque the family was, the black family?
Yeah, actually, I mean, it's all fine. I didn't see anything bad about it.
I mean, because they could have chosen any ways to do it.
No, they could have, right? But I felt like that was a role that's, or that the way they did it was the way where it works good for the movie, obviously, because then you don't have to show more screen time to what they're doing, because they're just playing it very cool, very calm. But at the same time, we've seen that happen in other, even in real life documentaries and stuff like that, where they don't act, you know, you rather just not act and not bring things up and act like if it doesn't hurt you instead, you know, when it really does.
Right. What do you think of the, I feel worse than that even. Like, I don't like any of it. It was just so obvious.
Yeah.
The whole black thing. I mean, I know why people go to the suburbs to get away from crime or supposed crime.
Right.
Even though crime has been diminishing every month, every decade, like clockwork, we feel like it's more. And I'm saying, like, today, especially today, is the same as it was in the 50s, or when it started, right?
Same as it ever was.
Not ever, but at least then.
Sorry, I had that song stuck in my head.
Okay. I don't know, I'm sure. Like, I get that already. I knew that going in. Like, I didn't know this movie had a whole, like, this theme, a political theme to tell
me. Yeah, neither did I.
And it's funny. There's a big...
I think the main message of the movie, right? That's what it is.
Well, I don't know how it really relates to the family of Matt Damon's family, other than the fact that it's just illustrating that anyone can be bad and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I think it's not only that, but it's also...
Or can fall.
I think it's also emphasizing that, like, it's... These are all white-on-white crimes, right? These are all people doing it on each other, right?
Right.
They're the ones. They even do it to family members. So, like, that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, the movie.
Oh, you're saying the movie's
emphasizing that it's not just like it doesn't.
You can't get away from crime. You can't get away from your
right.
Doesn't matter where you go. Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, it's
as the
people that do us the most harm is the people closest to us.
Yeah.
It's not only that. It's that as well as like the image that we have of other people. Isn't the image that we put out as well? Like, but for example, it's just like obviously the black family moves in. They're perfectly nice people, Like, they mind their own business, they do their own things. But they're the ones, everybody else in the Suburbicon is the ones that are acting a fool and acting completely different to them for no reason. Yeah. Just because they look different visually.
Yeah. That's it. And even though it's funny because of Matt Damon and the real difference between them, I guess the real thing that connects them is that you have one side of the block is this black family who literally is doing nothing against anybody, and they're being the streets. It's not a spoiler to say. It happens really fast. They're filled with people like annoying them. They're filled with people on the streets at some point, and it just keeps escalating.
Yeah, and then on Matt Damon's side,
which is the craziest shit going on.
Yeah.
The actual crimes are going on, and they're always empty streets.
Always empty streets. Yeah. Well, everybody's over there.
Everyone's on the other side. And that's the real Ethan and Joel Coen connection that I can see.
Yeah,
in this movie.
For sure.
That's so them.
Right. That and the accidents that happened. But yeah.
Yeah, some of it. But a little off here. But yeah, so that's the only thing I can see between those two things that I can find out.
Although I did appreciate Matt Damon getting beat up and having black eyes.
Yeah, yeah. One more thing before we get into spoilers is that the trailers, the marketing for this movie, grossly undersold this movie. Or oversold it. Or sold it wrong. Because if you remember from the trailers of anyone you've
seen... I saw it only once over.
It portrayed it to be a comedy. And at best, it is a dark comedy that fails as a comedy. And it's just really a dark movie. This movie's not funny at all.
It's almost horror-ish.
This movie's not funny.
It leans way towards dark, yeah, for sure.
And I really don't put it past George Clooney. He's done comedies before. He's done weird adult comedies, too. So, like, that's totally fine. It's in his wheelhouse. But if this movie was trying to be funny, it did not succeed. The trailer succeeded more. Because those punchlines don't have, in the trailers, I mean, those moments of funny, whatever, they don't show you what the very next line is, which kills the mood. Will kill a joke like that. So this movie's like, I mean, maybe just not funny to me and to you, but
maybe
like
dark humor.
Just,
I don't
no
know.
No one was laughing in that theater either.
Nobody. Also, was your theater full of older people?
Yeah, full of old people. Okay. Yeah, full of old people. I was the youngest. I could have been their gardeners.
You were the youngest. Probably. Shit, I was someone's kid then.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could have been someone's kid. I'm not that old. Fuck. I'm only 4.5 years older than you. I'm not like 40 and a half.
Right.
Fucking bastard. So nobody laughed. Either nobody got it or it wasn't funny. I'll just go with it wasn't funny. So this movie fails in that regard. I hope it wasn't. I know some scenes it was trying to be funny or darkly comedic, but those scenes failed when they were actively trying. And other times when the trailers portrayed those scenes to be funny, They just weren't. They were either just suspenseful or scary or just dramatic.
They were funny-looking, some of the scenes.
I mean, maybe like it's Matt funny Damon to a lot
riding,
of people.
Like Matt Damon riding on a little bike.
Yeah, that example. was they were trying for laughs, clearly.
Yeah, sure, but it's funny-looking.
The music literally stops at the right time. It's all meant to be a punchline.
Exactly.
And then other times I'll do like, well, again, to that scene, because that scene's towards the end. But yeah, so I don't like that. The advertisements kind of blew this movie away, not in a good way, I mean, in a bad way. So that's it for my spoiler-free area of that. Do you want anything to add on?
No.
An acting or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Let's get into spoilers for Suburbicon starting right now.
These animals killed Mom.
This is a safe place.
It was.
Nothing like this ever happened here.
You develop a nose for hanky-panky.
Take care of the kid.
Would you like a cup of coffee?
Hi, pal.
This town is falling apart.
Worst father of the year, Matt Damon.
Yes, worst father of the year. If we do trophies for worst father in a movie role this year, it's that and Woody Harrelson's character in The Glass Castle.
And this is that for sure.
Those two movies, trust me, are the worst dads in movies this year. I'm sure I can think of a third one, though.
I'm pretty sure.
Like Jared Leto creating
also,
all those replicants.
Twins? Twins is a thing this year?
Julianne Moore and Twins. What's with the Twins?
There's another. There was the What was that?
Okra.
Movie that we saw?
Okja. Oh, my bad.
Okja.
Yeah. Oh, like Okra.
There's something else earlier in the year. I think there was a Twins thing also.
Oh, Twins is a main thing. It's a big thing. There's one in Death Day.
Oh, is there?
I didn't see
that.
Might have heard that. No, I didn't see it either. I heard it. Someone told me. So, just reminded me. Twins is a big thing, you know. What happened to Monday? There's seven of them, so.
Oh, there you go. That's the
Is that the one you meant?
Yeah, yeah. So,
septuplets.
Sure. Even worse.
Yeah. Right? Way worse. So, yeah. It's the thing. I don't know why they did it other than the fact that she could pawn off to be the wife. But what is the point of that? Yeah. What is the point of it to you? That she had a twin sister.
To confuse us in the beginning. Because, like, this is the thing about...
Did you think they were going to pull the rabbit out of the hat? Like, I was always a sister. I was always the wife, not the sister.
Maybe, right? That would have been funny. No, what's funny is the movie kind of leads you to believe, well, you don't know who the mother is in the beginning. So you don't know who's going to get killed until she dies. At least that's how I felt. Once the funeral happened, I was like, oh, it's the mom.
Wait, well, no, I also knew, well, I knew she was the mother because the main difference between them is that the mother was paraplegic or she couldn't walk
by
herself.
But they never mentioned that.
They did. She had to carry her and she had the wheelchair there.
No. Yeah. But they never mentioned which one was the mother at all.
Oh, yeah, they did.
When?
Because the kid would say mom to her when they were being home invasioned. They definitely get use those pronouns.
They did, but they always showed both of them in the act. And the thing is, like, because this is why I got confused. Because that one scene where the mom tells the son, "Go ahead and go play with the black kid," right? Like, go play with him. Go play baseball. I don't want to play baseball. The kid's obviously an introvert.
It was the aunt who said that.
Yeah, right.
Huh? Yeah, it was the aunt who said that. The brunette.
Sure, it was. Yeah, I'm sorry, but what's it called? No, I thought it was the mother.
No, the mother says, like, "You're on your own, kid."
That's right. That's where I got confused because he was go play. And she's just looking at like, I don't care. So the other one looked like she just didn't care. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's the mom. And she was just looking at like, can you defend me?
No. I think they do a lot of things to show, not a lot of things, they do some things to show you that the mother, the actual mother that dies in the beginning of the movie, essentially, she is very indifferent to a lot of things going on. She kind of just doesn't care a lot. She clearly hates her husband. Or has resentment for it because they talked briefly about the car accident that he caused.
Right, which that's another weird thing.
Because they mentioned my husband was driving as if he's not there in the room with you.
Yeah, that's another weird thing because that's another thing that threw me off.
I think the movie's trying to throw you up. I don't know why because it was so obvious. I mean, the answer was there. And at the funeral, you knew anyway. So.
That's what I'm saying. Until the funeral. I was just confused because of those couple little things.
I mean, if they switched them, does it add anything to the movie? That it was complicated?
Confusing? It was just confusing.
Even if they switched the whole time and that was really the mother, does it make the movie any different for you?
That would have been a little cooler, yeah.
Does it make the movie different? Really? It makes it cooler? It doesn't change the outcome.
No, well, it would have changed the movie.
To a better place or not?
Yes. Okay. Because it would have been more like, I caught you in the act of you trying to kill me this whole time. And in reality, it was never me. And then it would have been a cool thing of like...
Yeah, but obviously...
Then it would have been a different movie.
Well, like I said, it's impossible because she couldn't function in her legs.
Sure, exactly.
She could not move her legs. So
yeah.
That's a big difference between them. Right. If there was no difference between them, I would entertain that idea with you.
Yeah.
But it's not true. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know why the movie was being confusing about that. I mean,
what I'm saying. I don't know why it was...
I'm with you. It took me a minute, too, but I figured it out.
Confused,
yeah, I hear you. It doesn't matter. But so the escalating murder. Now, this plan of insurance scamming.
Yeah.
You figured out that Matt Damon has always been a bad guy. Him and the aunt, you know, they like to paddle each other. And as soon as the mom died, she went blonde, too.
Dude, that was super creepy.
Creepy on the kid, I imagine. The son is like, whoa.
Whoa, yeah.
Clearly, Matt Damon was loving that.
I was almost waiting for her to get on the wheelchair and be like, do you love me now? Like,
No, I didn't expect that. But it seemed like that she was definitely slipping into that role and that Matt Damon was digging that because he was digging it.
Sure.
Which I didn't get at first. Like, the way he was acting and reacting to the people around him, he made him seem so like stupid or unsympathetic. And then when you realize he's in on this whole thing and he hired these goons to kill the wife in this home invasion, and then it escalated from there. Once you find all this out, and they start talking about going to Aruba, and there's no extradition. You know, that was when I first found out that they were in on it.
Yeah. My wife called it right at the funeral.
Oh, really?
I saw it with Ashley, yeah. And she called her. She was like, he called her.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Then again, I mean, she watches Lifetime, so yeah.
I mean, also, it should have been obvious, too. They do chloroform her extra for no reason.
Right, right.
What, they hate paraplegics? Is that their thing? Like, no reason.
Well, I had thought that at first maybe she was, she didn't get chloroform all the way, but I was like, no, she's pretty knocked out.
Yeah, they're all knocked out. So, yeah. Exactly. Very strange. So it has a very Fargo feel to it. Like, you know, a nice guy hires to kidnap the wife or kill her or something.
Right.
So that's another Coen-esque. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Coen-esque thing. But everything falls apart as usual. It gets really dark, extra murdering. There's an insurance agent played by Oscar Isaac, who our investigator, claims investigator, who comes in, worms his way in. Clearly, Julianne Moore, now the sister, should have never let him into the house. She's not supposed to know anything.
Yeah.
She lets it slip that, you know, they actually murdered, right? It's all a scam.
Well, he even says
and
it. Like,
I'm curious as to what kind of proof did they really have against them? I don't see any. It's all just his word, I guess. I'm not saying they don't get the money. If he doesn't want to give the money, he can make anything up. I mean, I figured. But just because she slipped something, it's not like that was recorded.
Right.
I don't get why that was a big problem.
I mean, it's his word against hers.
Right. He's not a...
Well, I guess that would be the only thing.
Is he a judge?
Because at this point, if it's the 50s, it's definitely his word against her, and we'll take his word over hers.
No, I'm saying, but there's no proof on it, and it's not like the guy gave the testimony. Who is the guy who matters? The husband. I don't know. It's very strange.
It is weird, yeah.
Maybe I just don't understand how claims works.
Sure.
I mean, Leonard Shelby will tell me one day. But what did you think of Oscar Isaac? He's just so strange. He's like two scenes.
I kind of loved him. He was good in those two scenes. I didn't know if he was being serious about the whole, like, I'll take all the money insurance thing.
I wasn't sure either.
Because it was like, I caught you guys again. Like, I wanted to reinforce myself that you were actually killed her by getting it from the horse's mouth, from the husband, right? And, like, you saying if you actually killed her. And you entertained the idea. So you actually did. Now I know for real.
Right.
I didn't know if he was playing that game. Or if he was playing the, like, well, shit, I can make some easy money right here, you know?
Yeah, it's like they introduced an idea, and then once it could be interesting, they immediately just killed him.
The only reason I see that, well, exactly, yeah. The only reason I see Oscar Isaac's character doing that is, again, it's like the ones who do crimes against each other are white people do crimes against each other. In this, if we're talking about...
Well, it's funny that he's portrayed to be white.
But he's not.
He's not, and it's just, that was weird for me. But I guess he was... just gonna accept the fact that he was playing
sure,
a white
yeah.
guy in his
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah.
He did a good job.
A very tanned white guy.
Very tan. Right. He must be from Miami.
Miami,
from
man.
Sunny California, you know.
Miami man, yeah.
Yeah. Miami man. Yeah. Good call back. But here's the thing is that once I started liking his thread, they kill it off and they kill him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Which is pretty cool though, is the way he dies. I did like it.
Was it a bleach? No, it wasn't bleach.
No, it was a lie. Lie, yeah.
Yeah.
It was lie. So I do like the fact that he's, like, struggling to, like, because he's burning him on the insides. And he's struggling to, like, he's trying to get help, but the whole mob is on that.
And he goes into the street, but no one sees him.
No one sees him because the mob is a block away.
Right.
Right, it's the other block. And that block is empty because they're all there. The whole mob is there.
Yeah.
So, and it's super funny. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
What about there's so much more murdering. What do you think of the Mitch, the Uncle Mitch thing?
That was a cool one.
His intro and everything?
Yeah, that was a cool thing about
funeral.
Mitch. Yeah. The whole intro to the funeral thing, it almost felt like we were looking at a dumb person. Like, he was kind of portraying, like, he didn't know how to, like anybody. Also, this is a big movie, like, total 50s feelings, where no one knows how to talk about their feelings. No one knows how to express, like...
What was that scene at the bar with him, right?
Yeah, nobody knows how to express themselves with their feelings and other people to when someone loses a loved one. Because, like, the manager's like, oh, you lost a loved one. I hope you're okay. And, like, he doesn't even know what to say. Like, why bring him into... Why call him to your office for that for no reason?
Oh, yeah, that was...
That's a really weird thing.
Yeah.
Really, it was a funny scene also, but it's kind of weird. What's it called? But yeah, the whole Uncle Mitch thing was just like, you almost didn't know what he wanted to do, but at the same time, he's just kind of like, I'm there for you, kid. Just call me, you know? And I'm going to horse around with you so I can lighten the mood.
Which is kind of an uncle job, I guess.
Yeah, it is an uncle job.
That's going to be my job, Leo.
But he did, compared to everybody else, tonally, he did seem like the more...
Good guy.
Yeah, I guess.
Regular guy. Yeah. Him saving the day was, it's funny because...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very strange. And it's funny because in the trailer, this is a good thing from the trailer, is that they show that scene a lot where in the kid's point of view is that the two feet are shuffling, the two sets of feet.
Yeah.
And it's the uncle who's killing the bad guy.
Yeah. And you never knew if it was the uncle or not, though.
Right. In the trailer, I always thought, because the way they portray Matt Damon in the trailer is that he's always the good guy, the idiot, the one who doesn't defend himself. And then you see that, yeah. And you think it's him finally defending himself and defending his family. Yeah. But no, that was a cool.
That is a good one. Yeah. I don't remember that from the commercial.
Well, like I said, I saw it 3 trillion times.
So. Sure.
Yeah. So yeah, that was fine. I mean, very bloody and you know overly done. And Julianne Moore's death was everything was kind of foreseen too. Like I knew Oscar Isaac was going to die before he did. I knew that she was going to poison him before he did. I know he was going to eat a sandwich, also.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know the ending was going to be quite like that, but other than that, I kind of predicted this entire movie as it was happening.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
I guess the brother or the uncle, that's a good one that was there, just not known, I guess. Kind of sucked that he couldn't call the cops for anybody because they cut the phone beforehand, the phone wire.
Yeah, it was funny because he acted like he did call them successfully.
Well, it's like he passed away right there.
Right, he must have just... Yeah, right. It took me a while. Like, where are the cops? And like, right, because the thing was cut. Like, did they... At first, I thought it was an error in filmmaking.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
And they were like, oh, okay, it wasn't. Okay. He was just like...
That's exactly what I thought, too. I thought the same thing. I was like, did they shoot the scene before they cut the fucking wire or something? Like,
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that, too. I'm like, oh, my God. How did this movie slip through?
Right, yeah. Clooney. This is your guys looking at this.
Clooney, bro, you did so good in the first two movies you did.
Yeah.
What did you think of the resolution with the family, the black family across the way?
Well, where they had the National Guard, what it seemed like, to fucking defend them, because it looked like military people.
I'm glad they didn't like harp on the cops also hating them. Like
the cops didn't. The cops were doing their job and defending them.
Oh, right. I'm not saying they had to like them, but they were doing their job.
Yeah. So they were beating the fuck out of some of those guys too.
Oh, yeah, some of them. Yeah. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah. It was some white rage right there.
At one point, they put a Confederate flag, right?
Yeah, they put the Confederate flag. Right,
they burned their car.
Yeah, they burned the car, exactly.
It gets pretty exciting. It feels like, you know, it's funny, the way they were sheltering their house is like they were preparing for a tornado.
Yeah.
Something, and the tornado was just white people.
Something similar like
white
that.
White tornado.
Well, I love the very end with the old lady. Not the very end, but one of the ends.
Oh, when they're going through the news.
Yeah, with the news, and the old lady's like, we had a murder going up over here, and then, like... two dead bodies in this neighborhood over here, like a block away.
The fire truck hitting the guy.
Yeah. She's like, we never had that happen before they came. And I'm just like, dude.
The reason it escalated that far is because they were afraid of it.
Right, exactly.
This just doesn't make sense. It's amazing. That kind of talk, that's the only realistic part I can see.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely seen that in news. I can see that entire thing happening. Right. Where most of it seems overdone. What did you think of, do you feel like this movie had to have a political message?
I don't know if it had to, or
can you see this movie be like a better movie if it just stuck to the family and the whole mysterious...
I think if you stick to just the family, you say like 20 minutes of the movie, right? 10, maybe 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I think you can definitely get some more either dark moments... or more, if you wanted a comedy from this comedy moment and from the family, and that would have been better. Yes.
And I think if maybe like they, if it was Suburbicon, yeah. And I think they used the setting of this perfect white haven in the 50s, if they use that as a platform to say that this escalation of these crimes wouldn't have gone out of hand if people weren't as racist and people didn't just, you know, or if they were black, they wouldn't have gone this far. Like, nobody would have died this many times. So I'm saying, like, a lot of things wouldn't have escalated. Like, they could have done it much more subtly and not even shown any mob or anything. They were just, shown some TV news of shit that's happening that we know already as an audience member.
Right.
It's a very common thing. These political things are very common. And, everyone knows what was going on back then, how racist people were.
Sure,
you don't need to fucking make a whole subplot. I did like the kids though playing baseball at the end. That was cool. The only part that wasn't fenced is their side.
It is their side, yeah.
And then when that place was bigger. That suburb was huge.
Yeah.
But they show the whole thing and everything looks exactly the same. That's the real annoying part for suburbs for me, is that every street looks exactly the same.
How do you know which house is yours?
I have no idea. And they're all, like, named after the same thing, you know, like Maple Lane, Maple Circle, Maple Square, Maple... Like, yeah. Jesus, make up new
Maple
names.
Maple Boulevard.
Yeah, forget about it. And then it's First and Main, you know. And their downtowns were shitty. Sorry. Anything else you want to add on this movie? I feel like we're not really saying what makes it better or worse.
I think we have been. No, I think we've been saying is that it lacks. It goes one way, and it's trying to talk about this political thing, but not really, because that's not the tone. But at the same time, it is. I think that's the main message of the movie, which I've already said a couple times. And then there's also what the movie's trying to be like. This we're trying to see this weird murder.
It does feel like
thing.
The movie doesn't know what it wants.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Or it knows what it wants but doesn't know how to show it.
That's about a one, I think, for me.
Either way, it's a problem. And I don't know what to think of this movie other than the fact that I just don't want to think about it anymore, and I understand why it's getting shitty reviews.
Yeah.
I don't get why it's gotten. It's down to like 20%. I don't think
something
it's that
crazy,
bad.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that bad. Well, but it definitely doesn't reward any more viewings from my part. Or
yeah.
I don't want people flocking to this movie necessarily, but I mean, it's not that bad either. There are worse movies that are getting better ratings, so just focus on those guys. So that is our short enough review of Suburbicon.
Apparently.
No, you're not saying anything. I was just giving you space so I can do the closing. And that is it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Never forget, never surrender, to send us feedback to any of these opinions we've given you on these films, on these three films, over at podmoviecast@gmail.com. And our website, otherpodcast.com, to find out this show and all our shows we've ever done, ever. You can follow me on Twitter and on Letterboxd for my movie watching habits at Armin Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ruff?
Have you ever seen Oscar's Letterboxd? He watches a lot of movies. For no reason.
Not for no reason. I watch them because I want
to
see them.
No reason, because he's seen them already, and he's rewatching them.
Some of them
If there was a rewatch option, is there a rewatch option on the Letterboxd?
Yeah, you see the little circle next to it.
Sure, but like with the multiplier, it would be pretty bad on some of the things you rewatch.
Well, it doesn't know
with the multiplier.
It only knows how many times I've seen it since I started my account.
Oh, well, shit! If you could just
not of all
keep
time.
Adding.
Like, yeah, I have.
Okay, that's pretty
I'm sure
crazy.
There's a way to look at all that. Yeah,
yeah, that'd be pretty crazy.
There's a lot of options.
You should update how many teams you've seen, like Jaws or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, since I started the website, the account, like 2-3 times.
But does that know that?
It would know that, yeah.
I'll have to look at your letterbox.
I mean, look. Yes, that's why I'm offering it here on the on the podcast.
Right.
Jesus, what's your Twitter?
Anyways, you can follow me at GamerRelf. Smart of me. That's a 2 R's and an F.
And guys, donate this month. If you even like our conversations, I hope you do. Oh, no, donations for this month will provide a bonus episode. Bonus episode for this month, it's going to be The Snowman.
Oh, that's right, The Snowman. Kind
of hard to pick a movie that we didn't want to review for the main show already, so Snowman was the best option. You have a few more days before, actually exactly 2 more days, because it's almost the 31st, in order for you to get that bonus episode on time. If not, it'll come out 5 months later. I did see it already, starring Michael Fassbender, and it's better than Suburbicon.
Which I think they have the same rating.
Yeah, it's not great, though, but it's better than Suburbicon.
Okay.
So I'll leave you with that.
Sure.
And we still have yet decided on a marathon, but we're nearing the...
I think we don't.
We're nearing the end of the year season, the big movie season.
Yeah, which means hard times to watch
movies. We might have to wait on that, but we definitely have to talk more about...
Yeah, I think we know, though.
Yeah, we know roughly.
Sure,
we know
yeah,
exactly.
We
looked
at the pinpoint.
We need to figure out titles
right.
And shit.
Steven Seagal Marathon. What do you, huh?
No. Under Siege 2.
I saw Under Siege 2 just 2 days ago. I'm ready.
It's terrible. The train one, right?
Yeah, that's the train one.
That's awful. Did you give your Twitter? You did, right?
Yeah, I did.
Next time, remember, we are a biweekly show. We come out every other weekend. Next time, on the weekend of November 10th, we will be definitely reviewing Thor Ragnarok. I know it's Rob, your choice, but I know you're going to pick that one.
Well, I'm watching it anyway, so yeah, might as well pick it.
Thor Ragnarok. I know you haven't had a chance to pick out the other two films.
I have not because I don't know what's going out.
Right.
But I'll find out.
So you need to figure out, and for you guys, it'll be to be determined, but it will be on the website on the week of our next show. So it'll be there by then. Raf, you going to text me in that shit?
Sure, yeah, whatever.
Okay. Until then, my little cinephiles, have a happy Halloween, and I'll see you later.
You will not remember the last hour and a half of what you have just seen. You will forget the contents of this movie.